Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Testing?
Testies?
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 1, 2, 3.
Boner.
I don't know shit about fuck.
Fucker.
I like sucking,
but I ain't gay.
Legit bad podcast.
Fuck those honkies.
Big ass.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
He really knows how to suck a wiener.
Well, welcome back to Legit Bat. I just realized we hit over 200 episodes, not on YouTube, but on the audio feeds, and I didn't even notice it until I went to go upload one the other day.
So, you forgot again?
Yeah, because we were going to do one at 100 episodes, and then that passed, so we're like, fuck it. I'm like, oh, we'll do 200 episodes, and that passed, so yay us. We did 200 episodes. It's just me and Jen today. I'm Joe.
Hello.
That's Jen, obviously, the one without the penis, as far as we know. According to Sam Tripoli, she's the hottest chick with a massive hog, though. So I have that sound drop somewhere, too. I'll have to get that.
I just said I wanted a dick.
Oh, yeah. Alex Stein was hitting on you, too, I noticed.
Oh, yeah. Well, he'll hit on anything. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thanks.
Yeah, I miss that guy. He better come back. I know we're small potatoes compared to him, but he needs to come back and hang with us again. Oh, shit. Something's flying in my face. All right. Anyway. We got our guest, Brett Bender, today from the YouTube channel. Let me throw it up on the screen. YouTube.com/Brett Bender. So introduce yourself and what you do over at your show and the kind of stuff you like to talk about.
So, yeah, I'm Brett Bender, and my whole thing is like just escaping the matrix. It's like a group of people coming together and understanding that what we've been taught isn't actually correct. So, I mean, I came from Muskingum University. I was a producer at my news station. And then I realized, wow, the mainstream media is corrupt. They're basically the enemy of the people right after I graduated college. So I didn't try to work with them. And I started my own tree removal company, which has given me like the freedom and the resources just kind of like say what I want. So I feel like that's a gift that I've been given. So I can actually like freely spread, you know, things that I find without the fear of being fired or whatever. So, yeah, and I help other people try to escape the matrix, too, which I feel like I kind of have as well. So, I talk about a variety of different subjects. I first started off talking about Jeffrey Epstein. I felt like he was an important person to bring up because this was the first time where we could point to the mainstream news and be like, hey, some of the quote unquote conspiracies we were talking about are legit. Like even ABC and NBC are talking about it. So it was like really the first thing you can point to, like the normies, I guess you could say, to add credibility to this whole thing that we talk about, you know?
Yeah.
People
don't pay attention until somebody like that brings it up and they're like, oh my God, you hear about Jeffrey Epstein?
Right.
So you're not listening to us for a couple of years now. Come on.
Yeah. So then one of my like first videos on him got like 70,000 views because I was pointing out like all the symbolism on Jeffrey Epstein's island. I was getting really deep into it. Like his temple really resembled like an what's called oblock architecture from the Muslim world. And it was closely related to like the Sufis, which were like a Muslim sect of Gnostics. And then there was another statue there that kind of looked like Zoroaster. So I was like speculating, I'm like, what are all these like occult symbols on his island? It's like not really drawing any conclusions, but just like pointing out things that I thought was interesting. And
yeah, that's kind of what Isaac Weishaupt does. He kind of just points out the symbolism, not really saying, you know who that is, Isaac Weishaupt?
No, I don't.
Oh, dude, you would love him. Check it out. His show is called, well, he changed the name, but it's called, what does he call it now? It used to be called Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. Now it's,
Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture.
That's what it is. Yeah, check out that show. And if anybody else out there hasn't listened to it, it's great if you like to break down symbolism. So since you're into that kind of thing, I know you have here on the notes the Balenciaga scandal. So what do you have to say about that? Because I've heard tons of people's views on it. And if you are under a rock and haven't heard about the Balenciaga thing, you can go look it up. There's plenty of people doing shit on it. But what is it from your view?
What I gotta say is, if you go deeper into it, it's like discovering Pedogate all over again. Like, it's not just what you see on the surface. So this photo shoot was done by someone named I forget her name. I hate to remember these people's names because they're so disgusting to me that I don't even want to. But her name's Lada Volkova, and she was a Russian photographer who took those pictures with those teddy bears in the bondage outfits with children. And she's done a bunch of really creepy artwork, like the stuff that you would find on, the owner of Comet Ping Pong's like Instagram. Her Instagram is very similar to his. There's literally like pictures of children being taped up, just like there was with the Comet Ping Pong thing. Literally, she makes art of like children being like disemboweled. She makes art of like bloody babies and stuff. Like, it's so disgusting and messed up. So what people need to realize is, like, Balenciaga didn't just hire some, like, rando out there and then they had just had this, like, oversight. This is Balenciaga's culture. This woman works for Balenciaga. And this is the kind of stuff that they like. Like, for example, Balenciaga, they released these, like, goodie bags for people at an event one time. And inside the goodie bag were, like, fake baby dolls covered in blood. Like, this is the kind of stuff that, like, behind the scenes that they like with each other. So this isn't some random event.
Well, and it's dumb, too, because, like, anytime somebody does something like that and people call them out, they're like, it's just art. Okay, well, how fucked are you in the head to have art like that? Even if it was, which I don't think it is, even if it was just art, what's wrong with you? And why are you allowed to, like, sell this stuff?
It's crazy. Yeah, and it's just kind of like modern art in general has just, like, gotten so ugly. And it's like, you miss the days of like classical architecture and art in general. So, yeah.
Yeah. Stuff with talent. Modern art's just a train wreck. It's like, I'm going to throw some paint on this and then, sell it for $70 million. And that's a whole rabbit trail of money laundering, which is probably what it is. But
Yeah, there's so, definitely money laundering. So what?
I think with art, too, with the way that modern art has become so disgusting is just to throw us off. It used to be kind of like harmonious back in the day. I mean, there were different styles, of course, but it just seemed to flow better. And now it's just confusing. And I think that's done deliberately.
Well, like that one dude, I think he was an Italian maybe, that he made a sculpture, an invisible sculpture. So literally his art thing was like a pedestal. And he's like, yes, I made this invisible sculpture. And he was recognized as an artist for that. And like, this is beyond
that's
idiocracy.
Fucking nonsense. Like, what? Yeah.
I mean, some people just do like a glass cube and be like, this is my art piece. Okay, I could do that. Can I make millions of dollars doing that?
Yeah, and then you also see like in this newer culture, Gen Z, some of them are like gluing their hands to like Van Gogh paintings, like Stop Oil. Have you seen those stories?
Yeah, throwing macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, right. It's a destruction of old art, and then like just not making anything beautiful to replace it is the issue too.
Yeah. But the thing with Balenciaga too isn't just the art portion of it. That was kind of something that came up after that. The main thing that spurred this whole thing online about it was that they were showing children with the BDSM teddy bears, which is just weird. I mean, why do you even have a teddy bear with that kind of thing anyway, let alone with a kid in the picture? And then there was other weird stuff too. People zoomed in and there was a like court document in the shoot that said something about some child porn case or something like that. And then there's a couple other things that Isaac Weishaupt pointed out that I didn't even notice. But so Lindsay Sharman actually brought this up, I think, on...
Was it the Google Translate thing?
There's that, she too. And she brought up something. I think it was on Tim Foyle Hat, actually, the other day, that these photo shoots don't just happen. It's not like they're just like, yeah, throw that kid in there. This is a great looking room for a picture. Take a picture. All right, done. They stage everything very specifically because there are people that's their job is to stage these things out and make it look like an ad they want. And then the legal team goes over it. And then, you know, the marketing team, right? It goes through so many hands to be like, yes, this is what we want. And it still got through. And they were trying to say it was an oversight or that, you know, they missed it somehow and it just got out. So.
Yeah, course. No. And like this same photographer, Loda Volkova, she actually took pictures of this one child for this one French magazine. And it was an advertisement for a Disney cruise line that stopped at Little St. James, which is Epstein's Island. Do you see what I'm do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
I don't know if you heard about that with the whole Epstein saga. But there was a Disney cruise line that would make frequent trips to Epstein's Island for some reason.
Yeah. I could think of probably a couple thousand reasons, and they're all under 10.
Right.
That's so fucked up. Yeah. Did you uncover anything else about that, or is there any news that came out? I haven't paid attention to it in a day or so.
No, I just found it weird. Also, like The View talks about the Balenciaga scandal. And The View was like, well, I just don't think that this was good timing for them to do that because there's a lot of like anti-LGBT sentiment right now. And now they're going to say that like people are being groomers, which like just gives more flame to the far right. So like they weren't even angry at the fact that like little kids were being exploited. They were angry that it wasn't good for like narrative control.
When is a good time for that kind of thing? You know
what?
When is a good time?
Yeah, bad timing. I think any time's a bad time for that. Are you fucking joking?
Right.
There's never an okay time for any of that to happen, in case anyone's fucking wondering. And that's so weird that it's not weird that it was on The View and they were just like talking about it like that, because the people who watch that show are so fucking stupid that they can literally say anything and they're like, yeah, that is really bad timing.
Like, yes, really whatever you say.
And then it just distracts them from the real problem and they don't critically think. People who watch shows like that, sorry to judge, but I'm judging.
Well, they're low IQ, and not just low IQ, but a lot of them are elderly too. It's like a lot of the people that are still plugged into the mainstream media, they're like geriatric, like they're about to die soon, and that's the majority of their audience. So I think like change is truly inevitable, even with the insane amount of power that the power structures have right now. So It's funny we're doing this the same night that Ye went on the Alex Jones show tonight. And he said some super wild stuff that we're going to be hearing about for weeks, I'm sure, from the mainstream media.
Oh, it was that big?
What did he say? I didn't see it at all.
Big. I mean, he was saying like, he sounded like a troll, but he's like, I love Hitler. But he's like, but I love everybody. I love Jews. I love Zionists. I love Hitler. And he's like, honestly, Hitler was kind of cool. He's like, he did some good things. And I'm like, oh my God. And it's like, what Ye represents to me in this whole campaign he's doing is like the collective conscious shadow of humanity is like looking at itself like, wow, maybe we do take ourselves too seriously. Because it's like, he's breaking the entire chessboard if he's like serious about this presidential run. Because, like, Trump did that a little bit by breaking the chessboard, like, having a I don't give a fuck attitude. But Ye's really having a I don't give a fuck attitude.
That's what I'm wondering is if he's just world-class trolling or if, I mean, it's an expensive troll move for sure. I mean, if he thought that his, quote, overlords were going to, you know, cancel him and then they did, he had to have known that would have a financial impact on him. Obviously, he doesn't give a shit.
Well, I think he really cares about exposing truth. Like, what's that one quote? Like, if you cut out a man's tongue, you don't prove them to be a liar. You prove them to be right. So it's like he kind of maybe he knew that that would happen to him once he went down that path. And the way I see like this whole like Ye thing too is, I don't know if you ever heard of like Machiavellian's The Prince.
I know that name, but I'm not.
Yeah, it's this book, and it talks about like there's two different types of rulers. There's a lion, and then there's the fox. And the fox, they rule by using like guile. They're really smooth at the podium. They can like move narratives around and stuff. Then the lion, they rule through just like righteousness and brute strength and like following law and order. And a lot of our rulers now, they're like foxes. Like, they're very like smooth with their words. They're like tricky. They're fooling the masses. And
or not so smooth.
Where's your home?
Yeah. Yeah, like but Kanye West is like lion energy. He's just going balls to the wall, head first. Because what the foxes like to do is set up little traps. Like, oh, when Trump said there's good people on both sides, that means he's a racist. And then Trump would fall into that narrative and be like, no, I'm not racist, blah, blah, blah. But that's falling into their framework. Kanye West is just breaking the entire framework in general by saying crazy shit. Like, oh, I love Hitler and stuff like that. Which obviously, like, he's just kind of being a troll. So I think that's like a power move he's doing to show, like, I have no fear.
Yeah, it that whole Kanye thing, just I don't know, even know what to think about it. I just kind of, like everything else, kind of spectate and just watch everybody freak out or, you know, defend him. And then if you defend him, then you're anti-Jew and somehow a racist, even though he's black. And it's all confusing and very entertaining to me just to see people's reactions to it.
It's incredibly entertaining. Yeah. I'm liking it. And it's like, it's interesting because he appointed like Milo Yiannopoulos to be like the person who's running his election. Milo's been posting on Telegram that he believes in like flat earth and stuff like that. And it's like, wouldn't that be so interesting to have like a mainstream political candidate where their party like believes in flat earth, like on the main screens for the world to see?
You know what? That's totally done on purpose, in my opinion, because this community is huge. Like our community, a little conspiracy community, they're so big and they're so pissed at the media. Like you were saying, they're, it's like the enemy of the people. The narrative is bad. We know that. We can see that. And we're all just craving truth and pushing forward and saying, get these fuckers out of here. So can you imagine all of the people that are now going to flock to Kanye and say, oh, yeah, you believe in flat earth. You love Hitler. I love Hitler. Fuck. I don't care. So all of these people that are like hating the mainstream right now, which is bad. I don't think that leaning 100% in the other direction is a great idea either. And I could see that possibly happening.
Well, yeah, and it just seems like it's trying to split the vote even further and make it easier for, you know, a certain person to win. Because if they can split the vote between Trump, DeSantis, and Kanye, or whatever the fucking ticket ends up being in 2024, then it's an easy win for any retard they want to put in there. Biden could run again and win if they split it that much, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, Kanye could run for Republican, right? And then it would just be like, if he can defeat the Republican, then he'd be up against a Democrat.
Yeah,
so that would only happen if you ran independent to like split it all up like that, you know. So yeah. I'm hoping that's why I'm hoping he doesn't run independent, because you're right. That's exactly what would happen.
Yeah, I'm so fucking over. I think everybody's pretty much over the whole voting election system.
Yeah, like I didn't vote for the midterm.
Me either.
Me either. We gave up on that shit. We always voted third party.
Because of that, Newsom became governor again because I didn't.
Oh, yeah. You guys are in California, right?
Yeah.
Are you in like Northern California?
Yeah. Way up there.
Okay, cool. I heard that. Like, I've heard this one guy talk. He wants to secede the Northern California people from the rest of Cali. Have you heard about that?
Been a movement. Yeah, it's the state of Jefferson thing. That's been going on since, I don't know, the 1800s or some shit.
I don't know how long it's been going on, but it's southern parts of Southern Oregon and then part of Northern California.
But it's not going to happen because we'll get outvoted by the Southern California, which is the majority of the votes, which is why they want to secede in the first place. It's this whole circular clusterfuck.
They should just do it anyway. Everyone in this area all has guns, and most of those people don't. I think they should just secede.
Yeah, why not?
You're like, we're the sage of Jefferson. Fuck you.
Yeah. And
where,
it's like,
where are you at? I guess I didn't even ask. Where the hell are you at?
Oh, I'm in Ohio, like Cleveland area.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Yep. LeBron James. LeBron James actually has a house not too far from mine. I haven't seen it yet, but yeah.
You probably won't either.
No, it's probably security. Yeah. Also, Jeffrey Dahmer, where he grew up, his house is near me too. Funny enough.
Oh, cool.
Damn.
You're just in the right area.
Yeah, I am.
Well, dude, so the first thing you had down here, and I'm very interested in this, and we've talked kind of about it before, but Operation High Jump and Fishbowl. So what do you have to say about those things? Because those are some of the more interesting ones.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up this like little diagram with you guys, and I'm trying to figure out the screen share here, and it might not work. I hit the present.
Oh, yeah. We were supposed to do that before the show. Yeah,
just yeah, we were. And we just jumped into it. And for some reason, it's showing up gray. I can't share it, but that's okay. So
what the hell? Well, send it in the private chat, and I'll throw it up here. Figure it out.
I'm private not really sure how to do that. I think I can just like go without the diagram, but it's okay.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So, I mean, Operation High Jump, I mean, that started in 1946 with like Admiral Byrd. And that was when the United States military, like, first kind of, it seems like, discovered what we call the ice wall. Like, he led a group of like 4,700 men for some reason to like do an expedition out to Antarctica. And people speculate like maybe they were going after some Nazis that were speculated to set up a base in Antarctica. Because why else would you bring such a huge fighting force with aircraft carriers and men with loaded guns out into the middle of nowhere? So anyway, Byrd does this mission. He comes back and he goes on this interview show. And he tells the host, there is an entire, you can look this up on YouTube. He tells the host, there's an entire land outside of the South Pole that's larger than the United States. And he was all excited in this interview. He's like, it is mineral rich. There's oil and coal there. He's like, we're going to extract it for resources. It's going to be awesome. So then they do another operation called Operation Deep Freeze in 1955, where Admiral Byrd, again, brings a bunch of soldiers out to Antarctica, you know, supposedly probably to set up some, you know, installations to begin mining these resources. But he comes back and just nothing happens. They don't talk about it ever again. And then people are like, what's going on? Like you said, you were all excited to extract these resources and now nothing's occurring. Some people are speculating they found out like the real nature of our reality beyond that ice wall. And they're like, wow, we can't allow corporations to come here and mine resources. Cause what if they're like, hey, we want to go even further out there? What are they going to say? Like, no, you just can't for no reason. So, yeah. So
there are different accounts on that where one of them, I think, said he actually flew like into the hollow earth from what I like to call the earth's butthole. Like,
yeah,
we're thinking about the earth as a globe for the moment, but that he kind of went up inside the underneath and there was like a whole land in there. Then there's other ones I've heard that he said there's land beyond the ice wall, or, you know, land, basically a more of a flat earth model where they got over the, all the ice and snow and there was lush green lands out there.
Yeah, so the hole in the earth, I believe it's located, if it's true, but I think the narrative is it's like located at the North Pole, not the South Pole. It's like right in the middle of everything. And I actually found today some supposedly like leaked photos of like this butthole, and that's what it looks like. And I don't know if they're legit or not, because it's the internet, of course.
Right.
And you know, because you're familiar with like the flat earth map, right?
Oh yeah.
So I also researched today like the meaning of the Masonic compass. And it starts with the end of the compass is like that hole, the butthole, and that's where the black sun is located. And then, you know, the compass moves like this, and the compass represents the sun and the moon, and then the top is Polaris, the North Star. And that's what that Masonic compass really represents, is the moving of the sun and the moon over the black sun in the middle of the earth. And the black sun actually emits rays that causes the northern lights. And that's the rays that actually bounces off the moon that causes the moon to be luminescent, is actually the rays from the black sun.
Weird. I don't think I've heard that before.
Yeah. And I really wanted to show you a diagram of what I'm talking about, because I have that already, but I think you understand what I'm saying.
I do. But is it something that you can link to, or is it on your laptop?
It's on my laptop. It's like in a folder.
Let me see. Well, if you can figure out how to email it to me, we can do that and throw it up on the screen. Otherwise, whatever. But yeah, the Northern Lights thing was always interesting to me too. Apparently, people don't really know what causes them. I mean, there's scientific explanations on what causes them, but I don't think I've ever seen them myself, so I cannot attest to that. But we've gone all the way down the crazy train of do you know the Iwaranon documentaries on YouTube? The what was it called? Lost History of Flat Earth and What on Earth Happened? I think
what happened on Flat Earth,
epic,
or what
fucking, like 8-hour documentaries that we've talked about a bunch. But he basically was saying like there's a big tree at the North Pole. I don't know how much there is at the North Pole though, or how much there would be, because we've actually flown over, as far as we know, we've actually flown over the North Pole. I would think it'd be way more mysterious at the butthole on the South Pole, because nobody's ever really flown around that area. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So like, I don't know if you ever saw this podcast on Joe Rogan's show where this one guy's like, I traversed Antarctica. But then you look at the map that they show on the screen and you could just laugh out loud, because all he did was cross the Ross ice shelf. Like, he didn't cross Antarctica at all. He crossed this little sliver that was hanging off of Antarctica. And then he's acting like, oh, yeah, I crossed Antarctica and I proved the flat earthers wrong. And it's like, he proved nothing.
What do you like, have his name?
I had it written down somewhere. Bradley O'Cooper, I think, something like that.
What was it? What did he cross? The what ice shelf?
The Ross ice shelf. And I had all this these pictures, too. Maybe I can email you my folder somehow. Hold on.
See, Ross ice shelf. I'm going to throw this up on the screen. Oh. No, I want a map from above, you fucks. They're just showing it. Yeah, that's what I've heard too, because I remember hearing a couple years ago some dude, maybe it was that guy, that he was the first one to hike across Antarctica or something. They're like, yeah, the part they let you cross, like, you can go down there to a certain spot, you know, and check out the penguins. And that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, they do little tours where they take you to the edge of it, and then that's all you can see. Yeah, it's so stupid. And then let's see. Yeah, I wanted to go over too, like, the Antarctic Treaty. You've heard of that, right? Like, in 1959 that was established, like right after Operation Deep Freeze, where they like were suddenly just like lips closed about what they saw in Antarctica. All these countries got together and they're like, hey, we're gonna combine and make sure that nobody goes to Antarctica, and we're gonna protect Antarctica. And it's like, what? Like, why can't we explore it? Because if you go there, you'll see. Yeah, they say to protect penguins, there's a line that you can't cross or else the military intervenes.
So I don't know how real those are either, but I've seen videos of, you know, fishing ships coming up, and they're basically these fucking battleships come out and they're like, no, turn around. It's like, what the fuck are you doing down here?
Yeah,
defending the penguins. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, and are they worried about that person? Highly doubtful.
Yeah, a fisherman.
Right. And then, like, in 1962, there was Operation Fishbowl. And then that's when they were shooting literally nuclear missiles at, like, the firmament, basically, at the sky. And what they discovered when they did this was auroras would, like, show up. And you can see videos on YouTube of rockets hitting the firmament and creating a streak of water, which I imagine is what happened when they did Operation Fishbowl and shot the nukes up there. And not only that, but they were like testing the electromagnetic pulse. And there was just like this insane amount of, I guess, electromagnetism pulsing off these hits from the rockets.
Yeah, there's they named it Starfish. Starfish Prime 1.4 megaton high altitude nuclear test explosion. Is that what you're talking about? Kind of the aurora?
Exactly. Yeah.
And this is just from Wikipedia. But yeah, I've heard a lot about that too, and how they think they cracked the firmament or something, which I doubt that they actually cracked it. They might have skid marked it a bit.
No, I mean, there's stories in the Bible, I believe it is, of people shooting arrows. I don't know if it's the Bible, but some ancient texts of, you know, people shooting arrows at the sky dome to try to penetrate it, and God just kind of like laughs. And like, that's God's doing that in the modern equivalent. Like, you can't penetrate it.
So are you full on flat earth?
I mean, I don't like to say like flat earth, because I believe at the end of the day, we live in a matrix, and it's like, that's what you got to focus on. Don't focus on like the material earth being flat. Just remember first that it's Maya, as the ancients would call it, which is a matrix.
It's all just pixels.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of what, oh, wow. Your second screen. You just showed up on a second screen in here.
Fuck. Okay. What happened? Hold on. Let me leave.
No, it's fine. There's just one extra you in the waiting room. I'm like, whoa.
Well, I'm getting an echo now.
There you go. That now should fix it.
Okay, cool.
Oh, did you email me that shit?
See, I tried to email you it, and it wouldn't send. Hold on. I have it. Okay, I just sent it.
All right, let's see. Oh, I have to go to a different page. Sorry, people. This is my bad. I should have done this before the show, and I totally forgot. What happens when you get off work and just go straight into the recording mode?
Yeah, I sent you a folder with just a bunch of different pictures in it. of stuff I want to talk about. But but then, you know, in like 1969, we had the Apollo 11 mission, which was basically like a hoax to, you know, hide the firmament and hide the fact of like the reality of our realm. I mean, there's no way that they made a phone call to the moon in 1969 when today we need to set up cell phone towers every 3 miles in order to get reception on our cell phones.
Dude, that's one of my favorite things is talking to people about the moon, because a lot of those things, most people don't even realize. They didn't notice that he's calling from a landline to space on live TV in 1969.
That
makes literally no sense. Back then, I can see people believing it. They're like, ooh, technology. Yeah, they really know what they're doing. They got to the moon. Now you look back at it and you're like, there's no fucking way that happened. So what are you doing?
Yeah, it's like we have to have generations that live beyond that so we're not like grown up by that propaganda. And it's like, not only that, but look at the luminosity of a moon on a night. Like, they've calculated the lumens it would take, because you can read a book at night when it's a full moon. And if you were on the surface of the moon, you'd literally like evaporate. It's so bright. It would be so bright from the distance it is. And then like the pictures of the moon, it's just gray dust. Like, come on. And then NASA covers that up by saying like, well, the cameras at the time just weren't able to pick up the light. And it's like, what a stupid bullshit excuse. Like, come on.
The cameras couldn't pick up the light, but we did land a craft on the moon.
Definitely.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Yeah. I can't find that.
I sent you a very random, like, folder with a bunch of random pictures.
I don't even see the folder now. Like, I see you just. Because it does, Gmail does this weird thread thing where like all of your messages or all your emails show up in one thing, in like that. Oh, no, these are all our other ones. This is the newest one that he just sent.
Is it at the top? Lame.
Sorry, we are like epically unprepared today.
Anyway, what are your theories on how to break out of the Matrix? Because I actually 100% agree with you. Not that it matters, my opinion, but I agree with you 100% that it doesn't really matter if the Earth is round or flat, because we live in like a organic simulated reality. Whatever it is, I don't know. I don't know if it's necessarily zeros and ones, but it's definitely not real. It's not real, real. There's something else that we're missing. We're away from. We're separated from. So how do you get there?
So I feel like the first thing to do is like to remember that, you know, there's these celebrities that are millionaires that people are so envious of, but realize they are slaves of the Matrix, even if they have hundreds of millions of dollars, because there's certain things that they cannot think. They can't even think certain things or say certain things. So get yourself to a point where like you don't have to like filter yourself, besides, you know, just being polite and like having common sense and not just like pissing people off for no reason. But get to a point where you can just be like, fuck you, this is my opinion. Like, no boss is going to fire me for saying this. I feel like that's the first, like, base level thing that you need to figure out how to do in order to escape the Matrix.
Stop giving a fuck, basically.
It's like the guy in Office Space when he's like, I don't fucking care. And then he gets promoted because he doesn't give a fuck enough that they're like, wow, you're just what we need.
Yeah,
what
I'm not going to pay bills anymore either. I've never really liked doing that. So,
but he was free. He had no ego. He didn't care at all about anything. There was nothing holding him back. And it was like magnetizing.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, no ego. It's like you got to drop that and then just like go towards whatever puts you in a flow state. Like if you're wondering, what should I do with my life? Just like, shut off your mind and start investigating and researching like fun hobbies or fun topics. And if it puts you in a flow state while you're studying it, then that's God telling you like, that's your path. That's what you're supposed to be doing. So, but you have to be like in a state where you can actually do that. Cause so many people are all stressed out from their 9-to-5 jobs. Then they get home and their energy is totally drained. And then they can't put their time and energy towards something like that.
Yeah. That's why I got to do it after work. This is my flow state is doing this. And I don't like when I come home, even if I'm tired from work, like I'm still like, yeah, let's do a show. Like,
yeah,
this is the fun part. Yeah. I'm done with
right now. And that's your indicator that you're doing the right thing.
Hopefully some people say it's the wrong thing, but that's okay. Fuck them.
Yeah. Some of your family, are they like questioning what you're doing?
No, because they don't even fucking listen.
Yeah.
I don't think my parents wouldn't want to listen. they actually said, what's an episode we could listen to? I'm like, none of them.
Oh my God. Yeah. So like for Thanksgiving, I wanted to show like my parents, my Howdy Mikowski interview. And the only person in my family who sat and listened was like my kooky uncle. My kooky uncle's like, this is awesome. Did you see what Brett's doing? This is sweet. My parents are like, I don't get it. They just like went outside and like just like started
That's
drinking.
The problem is I'm that kooky uncle. Yeah. So I would have been like, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah. So yeah. And that's the weird thing. It's like whenever you're into this kind of stuff, it seems like we don't have family that where the whole family is into it too. It's always a black sheep, I feel like.
Oh yeah.
It is. Who interviewed us where they were asking if we were the black sheep? I feel like,
was it Brandon or
maybe it might have been Natasha. She might have asked me that, but I feel like a lot of people that we talk to are the black sheep in their family. And not just because some people are more like on board with certain conspiracies. We're just open-minded. I love entertaining these ideas and I'm not married to one idea.
That's the funny part though, is a lot of people will fault us just for entertaining the idea. Like my parents, but not fault, but you know, a lot of people would be like, why are you talking about the earth being flat? Are you stupid?
Well, I'm
like,
it's because we're not married to the narrative. To we don't care about the narrative and we're not like following it. Like, yes, totally. We're following. So we're like,
isn't the everyday world just annoying and sad enough? Why not talk to somebody about the earth being flat and, you know, us living in a simulation? It's good. It's better than watching fucking whatever people
it
watch.
It opens your mind. I think these are things that everyone needs to hear once. Like, hey, have you ever thought about the earth being flat? Even if they say like, fuck no, I haven't. They might see something at one point where they're like, maybe it is. And even if, I don't care if the earth's round or flat,
seed planting
but
thing.
It's thought provoking and it will help them expand their mind in other areas.
Yeah, I agree. Like, and it's like, I have to admit, I was kind of like an NPC. Like, I remember I was working this office job and I was telling this one coworker, I was sort of into conspiracies. I was into like aliens at the time. So she's like, oh cool. She's like, I could talk to this guy about flat earth. And she mentioned like Eric Dubay to me. And I'm like, you probably just have a crush on this dude. Like flat earth is stupid. And like, I just completely dismissed her. And I feel terrible that I did that. And because now like years later in my life, I realized like, wow, like Eric Dubay has a lot of good points. And just the other day, I emailed Eric Dubay and he responded to me saying he liked one of my videos.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and it's weird. We're like back in the day, he triggered me and now I really like the guy.
That's kind of like I think it was 4 or 5 years ago before the flat earth thing really took off. I heard something about this new trend of people thinking the earth was flat, and one of them was Shaquille O'Neal was a flat earther, which is funny. He's also a Freemason, but that's beside the point. But I heard this at least 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm like, well, he's a big doofy fucking basketball player. It's probably got hit in the head too much. Like, I thought too.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then a little later, I heard all these other people. They're like, oh yeah, but they were in like the Flat Earth Society, which is 100% controlled opposition for whatever Earth really is. I mean, if you're interested in Flat Earth, do not go to that, because that is exactly what everyone makes fun of when they talk about flat earthers being fucking crazy. They'll show the solar system like you'd see in school, except the earth is like a square pancake. And it's like, well, this is awkward. And I was telling her the other day, I'm like, you're missing the entire thing that flat earthers are talking about. It's earth centric, not heliocentric. So it's not that we're in a, you know, flying through space. And I'm not saying this is what's happening. I'm saying this is the flat earth perspective, is that it's not like we're flying through space on a space pancake and we're the only thing that's flat. No, this is it. Everything else revolves around us up in the sky.
No, real flat earthers actually don't believe in space at all.
Space is
We do know that. So they wouldn't be flying through space. So what I think people should be not really arguing though about whether or not the earth is round or flat, and just trying to figure out more of what this earth is. And it doesn't matter. Like, don't have any preconceived notions of it. I mean, I don't necessarily think it's a ball in space necessarily, but I don't necessarily think
traveling
it's like,
at 66,000 miles an hour. Don't forget that.
I also don't think there's possibly tons of extra lands around. Like, there could be, maybe I might be wrong about that, but I think this is a very controlled environment. And I think exploring that would be super beneficial rather than arguing.
Well, if we were allowed to explore, that'd be fucking great. Like, if I had the money, the first thing I'd be doing, Antarctica. I'm like, let's see what you're doing down there.
I know that new. So have you ever seen the show Severance?
Yes, I brought that up at an interview that I did recently.
That's so funny. So we've been watching it. We just finished it actually yesterday. And I said, oh my gosh, this reminds me of Howdy Mikowski's view of life. Like when they're up in their other selves on Earth, like, or just, you know, up in their little houses, even though that's controlled too, that's like them, I guess, when we die, not necessarily, but this environment is like the work environment, the worker area where they come down and they wake up every day and they're stuck in this every day, nine to five. But then either when we dream or when we die, that's the other place we go to, because when we dream, we don't remember where we are. I mean, I'm not saying that we necessarily go anywhere, but our astral bodies might. I don't know,
yeah, just weird. I actually brought up the show Severance to Howdy, and I think that like expanded his mind a bit, because he never thought of it from that angle, where I was like, well, Howdy, don't you think it's possible like we put purposely an aspect of ourselves here, just like in the TV show Severance, because we didn't want to do the work, our higher selves, ourself, so we put another aspect in to do all the dirty work.
Yeah, that's awesome. Oh my God, I'm so happy that you said that, because I was literally just saying that last night. Like,
it was a fucking awesome show. If you haven't seen Severance on Apple TV, go check it out. It's so full of symbolism, and just the ideas, like you're saying, in itself are just so like in your face. If you're in this community, if you're not in this community, you'd be like, oh, it's kind of a cool show.
No, it's an 8.7 on IMDb. So I think universally people like it no matter what they believe.
You're subconsciously.
Because it's an interesting concept to take your consciousness and say, I don't want to go to work, or I want to forget my life or whatever. And so you separate yourself and you don't think about that other self that you are. And I love the girl that just ends up hating. She's like, realizes who she is. And she's like, Jesus Christ, I'm the worst. And it turns out that most of them down there in the work world, because of the way they're born, they're better. They're like better people than their real selves are. Not that their real selves are bad necessarily, but they just turn out to be this. They're just innocent.
Yeah, and it's so weird because there's a lot of kind of trippy shows like that that are sort of like memory wipes and Gnosticism, like Westworld too, of course. Yeah. But like, you know, yeah, the robots live the same lives over and over again and get like used in their environment. And it's like, now I'm looking at every show like that. Like just last night, I was thinking of the show Samurai Jack. Have you ever seen that on Cartoon Network?
I don't think so.
It's like a 90s kids thing. But it was really popular in the 90s about a samurai fighting like Aku, this guy who looked like the Demiurge, literally. And the Demiurge sent him back like actually into the future. And he was fighting these beings that were like AI and reptilian, which looks like the Archons. And it's like, and Samurai Jack was trying to return home, like back to the Pleroma. And I'm like, wow, that my favorite show as a kid was just filled with like Gnostic symbolism.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot more out there than we even know, unless you go back and watch these things again. Because there's so many cartoons and, you know, shows from the 90s or 80s that you saw as a kid that you remember as they were, and then you go back and watch it now with, you know, new eyes or whatever, and it's like, whoa, holy shit, this is all right there, like, in front of my face. How did I not know? Oh, right,
because you're programmed. So Severance gave me, like, a big help with that, but we're so programmed. Like, we come into this world and we're just programmed. That's all we know. That's the same way that they do in the work world. They're just like, yeah, we do this thing, and they don't even know what they're doing. They're like looking at stupid fucking numbers till they're scary. Like, come on. Like, it's not like they don't know, and they don't even care. They don't think to question because they're not taught to. So then when someone comes down or someone figures something out and brings a new idea, it opens their eyes. And you see them grow. And I'm like, dude, that is humanity. That is what we're doing right now.
And then you have the Demiurge, the manager and the other dude, the security or whatever. And they're just like making sure that it's terrible the whole time. And
crazy lady.
If you really want to understand how programming works, look at child psychology. You'll find that a child from the time it's born to age 7, their brain is operating in a theta brainwave, which means they basically just like take in everything that their environment is around them without a filter. So like everything that they see, they take on face value. If it's like a scary monster on a TV screen, that's literally a scary monster in front of them. Because it's like, you can compare it to a computer, but you can't do anything with a computer if you don't have any programs on it. So like as a kid, they're installing all these programs from the time they're born to 7 that they can then use to like interact with the world around them. That's why John Locke said, give me a child and let me raise them to the age of 7 and I can like make them into whatever I want. And it's like, I feel like a lot of parents go into raising children without like thinking like that, how crucial those years are. And then what do we see like in COVID? All these kids see like parents walking around with masks, like freaking out about lockdowns. And like people just really at the time weren't taking into consideration the psychological toll that will have on future generations. And it was just like disgusting to me, like the lack of like foresight people were having.
Well, yeah, and we had some friends that, first of all, don't have kids, so I don't know why they thought they would be able to speak on this, but we brought that up back in late 2020. We're like, the psychological impacts of having a kid that's just learning facial expressions and how to like read social cues and everything, to have that all covered up during the most important, like maybe 3 to 5 years old, especially once they're starting to talk. And my friend was like, there's no psychological impact of, you know, putting that, the health is more important.
No, it was, we were talking about, so my job at the time was I worked for, I don't want to say the name of the company, but the end of it was programs. So I was working with kids who had symptoms of autism. So I would program them to learn sign language and to communicate with their parents. That's kind of essentially what we were doing. They were so young, they were like 2 years old. And then we would come in and we would do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, because they were having struggles with understanding language or understanding just communication in general. And we would do repeat, 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 repeat. And then eventually they would do it. And that was like a win for us, which it was, because at the end of the day, even though we were kind of like programming them, we were trying to teach them to communicate with their families. And it was, you know, challenging. But I worked there in 2020 and I ended up, they ended up like laying off our whole department. Thank God. I was already looking at other jobs because I was like, there's no, I can't teach these kids when they're wearing a mask. I can't go into a family's home with a fucking mask on and be like smiling and teaching the kids expression and language and words and then have them not be able to see my fucking face. Are you serious? And that's when I think it was, yeah, our friends were like, oh no. That's not how that is. No, it's fine. We're saving grandma. You're killing your neighbors. Like they were those people where they were like diehard. They hated Trump so much that they voted for Biden and then justified it. And then now say, nobody voted for Biden. They just hated Trump so much. And I'm like, you did that. You guys were those people. Like yeah. The people you're complaining you about were that. You. Yeah. So anyway, sorry for my rant, but yeah, kids, it totally affected kids and families and our whole business basically went under because of the masks and no one could teach kids anymore.
Yeah. Like my cousins have a sibling, so it's not a direct relative who has their Asperger's got triggered after COVID-19 because of like everything that happened. And like, they just haven't left the house like since it's occurred. Like, I think it's set off a lot of people that were kind of like on the spectrum. So yeah.
Well, and yeah, people that weren't on the spectrum that maybe have a tendency towards mild depression. There's a lot of suicides too from all that.
A lot of homicides too.
Mm-hmm.
Which I mean,
like domestic homicides, like families that were inside.
That
like,
all could have been part of the plan too. And, if the goal is population reduction, then why not get them to kill themselves and each other?
Right. Yeah. There was a meme I wanted to share here where it shows like an NPC looking at Bill Gates when he went on the TED Talk. And he was saying, like, we need to reduce the world population by using these vaccines. And the NPC was just thinking, I wonder what his pronouns are. When, like, the person who's awake is like, okay, thanks, Bill Gates, for telling me not to take a vaccine. And, yeah. And then the next slide was something like, I forget it. Never mind. I wanted to show you guys, but I don't have it.
Dude, that sucks. I don't know why it's not working. Why is it? You said it was
grayed out.
Do you
have to give him permissions?
No. You should click present. And then when you go to share screen, and then if you have your file or folder or tab open, it should show up on screen one or two. Oh, mine says that because I have two monitors. But so it says entire screen, window, or Chrome tab.
I mean, it's all good. I was just highlighting the fact that, you know, like it's just kind of crazy to me that other people see the same event as I do, and then they take a completely like irrelevant translation from it. It's like, why are you so obsessed with these petty things like race and gender identity when there's like these huge issues happening? Like Balenciaga, which is the major fashion designer of Hollywood, has a culture where they promote child abuse. Like Ghislaine Maxwell was the first person in history to be convicted of selling children to no one. Like these are problems that are like way higher on the priority list than like making sure you use the right they, them pronoun. But then that's what they're focused on.
But they think we're so dumb.
Yeah.
They say it all the time. They just think we're so dumb because our brains are easily programmable. Mm-hmm. But for
And I'll give him that.
And you see it in the news too. Like I say it all the time, but when you see the news like double down on something that's super stupid and they're like, no, 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 the people who don't believe this are absolutely ridiculous. And then they just keep going and like hammer down this nonsense point. It's like, it's so scary.
Well, they used to,
we're here. We live here.
They used to pshaw any like alternative thought as that's a conspiracy theory. Now it's dangerous, far-right, extremist, conspiracy theorist, homophobic, right. Transphobic, yeah. Xenophobic people. They roll everything all into one. Oh, Q, you can't forget Q. I mean, if you think that we maybe didn't go to the moon or maybe they lied a little bit about that, that's a QAnon conspiracy.
You're a theorist. White supremacist, yeah. QAnon Trump supporter. Sorry.
Oh, they got people believing that if you question an election, you're literally a bad person for questioning an election.
That's what we
Which
got.
Which is what happened. What happened in 2016 when Trump won?
Literally, yeah, exactly. The entire Clinton did the same thing. Yeah.
And in Bush and Gore and oh, whatever. Yeah.
We didn't vote for any of those people, but we just watched both sides freak out. And then it was so double sided. Like, what the fuck? Like, you can bitch like Trump, not my president t-shirts. Not my president in 2016.
And now they say, Biden, get over it.
Yeah,
and then like Biden, he shuts down the Keystone Pipeline. Like, we're no longer energy independence when like Trump was ready to have that going. And like now Saudi Arabia has canceled like OPEC with the United States to side with Russia. And Saudi Arabia is where we were getting the majority of our oil. So it's like, that's why people say things like they think that the destabilization of the United States is on purpose. Because who is incompetent, you know?
Yeah, it's either gross incompetence or it's on purpose. And as much as I think there are a bunch of retards that work in our political sphere, they're not that stupid because they got where they are either, you know, by one reason or another. But it's on purpose is all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's on purpose. I'm just saying it's intentional. There we go.
Yeah, I don't think that like it's on purpose with Joe Biden. I think he's just like a soulless kind of puppet at this point. Like,
no, I don't blame that guy.
No,
at all.
I think that's why he got put there. He was put in office. Like, you're going to be here. Trump doesn't really listen. He doesn't do what we want him to do. Yeah. And he's kind of a toddler. So we'll take him out because we can't trust him. He's a loose cannon. We'll put this super old senile man in that poops his pants and farts.
No, he's got the WEF's hands so far up his fucking ass, he's a Muppet. Like, it's just whatever they say, he's like,
oh man,
and he just says it. Well, to the best of his poor ability, he says it.
I feel bad for him, honestly. It's like elder abuse for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And the World Economic Forum. I mean, I had another like slide I want to show you, like how many people the European Parliament are WEF members. It's literally all of them. Like, the European Union has turned into, like, the vassals of the United States. Like, the EU is the U.S.'s little minions. They just go along with whatever U.S. does. And you can see that in Ukraine right now, too. Where, you know, Germany, they got their natural gas shut off by like, either the British or the United States, whoever it is. It wasn't Russia, because they were getting all their gas from Russia. But then maybe the United States was like, oh, we can't have that. We can't have them, like, having some sort of connection with our enemy in Russia. So they blew that up, and the Germans are going into a cold winter without anything. And they just have to keep their mouth shut. They all know like who did it, but they can't say anything.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. So what have you been doing about all of this stuff? Like, how do you deal with all the shit that swirls around in your head? Cause you look like you have a similar brain to us where it's just constantly like, all this crazy shit. How do you fucking deal with it? I mean, is it weed? Is it beer? Like, how do you do it?
You know what's weird is, like, I don't do this often, but sometimes I take edibles. And I don't do it to, like, have fun and get high. It's, like, a religious experience to me, and it kind of puts, like, more things together. And it's, like, an artistic, creative, like, process for me.
That's cool.
Is that similar? Funny. Have you ever done that?
Not with weed edibles, because that is just a different. I can't handle that.
Joe thinks he's dying.
If it's too much, it's like it catches me off guard, and I'm like, I don't know this feeling.
No, I feel like I'm dying if I'm with someone else. But if I'm alone, try it all by yourself. Because when you're alone, it's a totally different darkness. High.
Yeah.
Like Terrence McKenna. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I feel like with any kind of thing like that. I think if you did a high dose psychedelics, probably better to be alone put some headphones on and just not look at anything and just see where your mind goes. That would probably be fucking fun, because it's all the stimuli when you're on that shit that's coming in, especially if it's something like your TV or something else. That's what or fucks you up.
Well, people are so programmed to be judged and to worry about what other people think or how they're doing or how they're going to react to things. If you're alone and you're in a panic situation on drugs, you're going to figure that shit out, I think, way better than you would if someone else was with you, because you'd be like, oh, I'm freaking out right now. I wonder if they're going to be mad at me tomorrow or whatever. When you just have you, I think you'll, you know, work harder to figure that shit out.
Yeah, you can just freak out on your own.
Yeah. Yeah, it's less embarrassing. And, you know, in our Neolithic ancestors, like, they would get high off of, like, mushrooms and stuff all the time, like the druids, the shamans, and they would reach, like, understanding through these substances. They used it as a tool. And it's like we've kind of gotten away from that in our society. Now we just get high to, like, go rave, which is fine, too. But it's like, but you can't forget the other aspect of what they're used for, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that would be like somebody like taking three hits of DMT and being like, all right, let's go to the store.
Yeah.
I would do that on, like, for a YouTube video. That'd be funny. But I know that's not something, that's not what you use that for. Same. I think it was Graham Hancock, actually, a while ago, was talking about how he used to smoke a bunch of weed, and then he realized he was overusing it and not using it for what it should be used for. He was just smoking because he smoked weed. So he stopped for like a certain amount of time. Then when he came back to it, it was kind of like you were saying, where it's like a spiritual experience where he's like, I'm going to use this as a sacred plant. I'm going to like have a whole night of it and just get ripped out of my gourd and like light candles or whatever. I don't know what he does, but he was using it as like a rite or something, you know, some kind of ritual or something.
Do you want to hear a crazy theory that I just had today that's about this topic? So
yeah.
Do you know like the Rh negative like blood type or like Rh and what that is?
She's a Nephilim. Yeah, for sure.
So R stands for rhesus, which is like, which traces humans back to the rhesus monkey. And if you're Rh negative, that means you lack that gene that they can connect to monkeys. So people have speculated if you're negative, then it's like you got like a more of a connection to the divine, because we were genetically like created. So our genetics have been tampered with somehow or something like that. And if you do like psychedelics and you're like an Rh negative, then maybe you were like more quickly, everyone has access to it, but you're more quickly able to have like shamanic experiences.
Interesting. I'll have to try some ayahuasca.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done mushrooms and like, all right. So I will say the very first time I did mushrooms, I was 19. It was a while ago. And I remember I completely changed, like my whole personality changed immediately. And I know that happens on mushrooms, but I just remember thinking like, this is the best feeling I've ever had. I didn't see anything. I didn't take enough for that necessarily. I was with people, but I just loved everyone. And I felt very connected to everything. I know that's very also typical for mushrooms.
I call
but
that
anyone could have said vicious. Anything to me. They could have been like, hey, guess what? Your mom's a piece of shit and I hate you. And I would be like, that's okay. That's totally fine. That's just like your opinion, man. Yeah. And I was a super high strung person. I guess that's also important to like add in there. I was extremely high strung. Like that would never be a thing that I would ever do typically in my daily life. And I just had a little bit of mushrooms and did that. So I don't know. I'll have to try something that's crazy though.
I guess that was more of an overarching thing of my first time too, where I was like, everything kind of doesn't matter. Like all these little things doesn't matter. And that was the biggest takeaway. Not that I've tried to live my life like that since, but it just kind of happened where I'm like, you know what? All these little things just don't fucking matter. So why get bugged out about it when you're going to forget about it? It's not going to be a big deal. So.
That show fucking Severance has fucked me up because I'm like, why do we even throw our garbage away? Why do we do dishes? Why do we do anything at all? What the fuck are we doing in here? And that I was telling Joe, we should email Howdy Mikowski about this show. I know he's not probably a big TV guy, but he should definitely watch it.
Yeah. And I told Howdy about it. I'm like, Howdy, you got to see Severance. He's like, well, first I'm going to watch The Good Place because I want to see that. And I'm like, The Good Place kind of, it's okay, but it's like,
it's okay, but it's not as, yes, it would. You should tell him to override.
Yeah.
Well, we should tell him to just bump it up on his playlist.
It was a great comedy show, and it did have some themes in there where I was like, they're kind of onto something there. Mm-hmm. But as far as like, it was a very, very mainstream show, not saying that they can't have elements of good shit in them, but it was great for comedy. Like, I thought it was a hilarious show, and it was great. I'd go watch it again. But
yeah, but do you see, so in Severance, they pray to that, the creator of the company or the name of the town or wherever they live.
It's a total cult.
But it's just like what people do with God here. They're just like, oh yes, praise the Lord. It's the same fucking thing. They were born there, and that's why it's like their religion. It's nuts. I know they do it on the outside too. That's the cult part.
Remind me to talk to you about off air so we don't talk about the show the whole time, but yeah, about the part when would they come dance with all the masks on. I'll talk to you about that after the show. But well, dude, we'll let you get out of here. I know it's fucking late over there. We've gone almost an hour, so we're good to go. Plug whatever you want to plug before you leave, and some final words of wisdom. I want your best words of wisdom before you leave.
All right. Yeah, you can follow me on YouTube. It's just my name, Brett Bender. And yeah, I guess my final parting thought is realize it's a matrix, but fight back against it anyways. So
wow, you actually
understand it's not real.
You actually did have some good words. I was just kidding, but thank you.
Yeah, there you go. You got a little extra. Oh, got a bonus.
All right. Well, put your shit out on audio feeds, because that's where you'll get a lot more hits too, is the audio feeds. And speaking of that, thank you, Rockfin. Audio listeners. Thank you, YouTube and Rockfin and everybody else. And we realize you have a lot of options, and we thank you for spending time with us. I'm just kidding. You can go fuck yourself.
Fuck off.
All right. Have a good night.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.